The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayikra that when we bring a korban, we're supposed to salt the korban. V'chol korban minchascha b'melach timlach. We should have a salt on the korban mincha. V'lo tashbis melach brisa lokecha mi'al minchasecha. Al kol korbancha takriv melach. That we have to put salt on all the korbanos, and we shouldn't hold back on the melach bris elokecha, the salt of the covenant. There's a bris concerning salt. What kind of bris is there concerning salt? Rashi says, Shehabris krusa lamelach misheshes yimei breishes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with the salt during the 6 days of creation. Shehuftechu amayim atachtonim likarei bamizbeach b'melach v'nisoch amayim b'chag. On the second day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the rakia. And the rakia separated, the Torah tells us, between the mayim ha'elyonim and the mayim ha'tachtonim. The upper waters and the lower waters. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu at that time made a bris with the lower waters that they will be used on the Mizbeach. The salt of the lower waters will be used on Karbanos. And the water of the lower waters would be poured on the Mizbeach in the Nisach HaMayim and Chag HaSukkos. What in the world is going on? The first thing is, if you try to go back to Bereishis and say, what are the upper waters and the lower waters? If you think about it too much, don't, and you won't get very far. The Ramban writes regarding the rakia, what's commonly translated as the firmament that separates the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim HaTachtonim. He says, don't expect me to talk a lot about this. What exactly the perush of the rakia is asur li yodav, is forbidden to the people who know what it is. The kol shekein eleinu, and certainly for the rest of us who don't know what it is. So whatever the Torah was talking about is something beyond our real comprehension of upper waters and lower waters and rakia separate. But then we have to come along and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, decided to have a covenant with the lower waters. Like, why in the world do the lower waters require some sort of bris? Some sort of covenant. So I certainly don't have a full explanation. But I think there may be a partial explanation. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that when a person makes a motzi on bread, they're supposed to put salt on the bread. But the reason they had to put salt on the bread was because their bread was very bland. Wasn't very tasty. And it's not appropriate to make hamotzi on bread that's very bland, and therefore you have to add salt. Come along the Balei HaTosfot and say, our bread is much tastier. It's not bland at all. And therefore it's not necessary to salt bread when we make hamotzi. And then they quote Rabbi Menachem, who used to bring salt to the table every time he had a bread meal. Put salt on the table. Why? Because he says, the Medrash writes that when Bnei Yisrael wash Netilat Yadayim, and there are a group of people who are eating together, so we wash Netilat Yadayim, and the first ones to wash sit by the table and wait. And while they're waiting for everybody to finish table, just think about your Shabbos table, certainly at MMY or elsewhere, where some people are washing and waiting for others to come. The Satan comes along and is mekatreg, begins to denounce Bnei Yisrael, begins to incite against us, to say, look, they're sitting around doing nothing. No Torah, no mitzvot. But if you have the salt on the table, the bris melach, the covenant of the salt, protects us from the kitruk, the denunciation of the satan. The salt is going to protect us. What's going on? How's the salt protecting us? So I want to suggest the following. We're sitting around at the table after we wash Matilis Adayim, and we're not doing anything. We're not talking Torah. We're not talking about anything, but we're not talking Torah, not being involved in mitzvahs. It looks like we have one focus in life. We can't wait to eat food. And the satan comes along and says, look at them. All they care about is gashmius. There's no ruchnius there. They're only focused on gashmius. And then we have the salt. What does the salt symbolize? I have no idea what the Mayim Elyonim are and the Mayim Tachtonim are. But whatever they are, it seems to me that the Mayim Elyonim represents something that's more spiritual, and the Mayim Tachtonim represents something that's more physical. The Mayim Elyonim are something that's more ruchani, and the Mayim Tachtonim are something that's more gashmi. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the rakia that separated between them, the two were together. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, Mayim Elyonim, you go here, Mayim Tachtonim, you go there. And the Mayim Tachtonim were upset, were bothered, because it looked like they were being relegated to a world of total physicality. Their Ruchnius Mayim was taken away from them, and they would become totally Gashmi Mayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along to the Mayim Tachtonim and says, don't worry, I'm going to make a bris with you. Even though you are Mayim Tachtonim in an Olam HaGashmi, you still have a connection to Ruchnius. And I'll prove it to you, I'll show it to you. Your salt will be used on all the karbanos on the Mizbeach. Your water will be poured on the Mizbeach every year in Chag HaSukkos. So even though that you're primarily in the Olam HaGashmi, but you still have a connection to Ruchnius, it's not an all or nothing deal. You live in an Olam HaGashmi, but you're still connected to Ruchnius. That's the Bris Melach. And that's why Rabbi Nachum used to put salt on the table. You, Satan, think that just because we're sitting around at the table waiting to eat the challah and the bread, that all we care about is physicality, you're wrong. We may be gashmi people, we may be physical beings, and we may live in an olam hagashmi. But the Bris Melach tells us that you can live in an olam hagashmi and still be connected to Ruchnius. It's not an all or nothing deal. We eat, and we enjoy our eating. But we eat so that we can become better Ruchani people. We can't survive without our Gashmius. But the goal isn't Gashmius. We still have a connection to Ruchnius. So when you, the Satan, are coming along and saying, look at them! We say, look at the salt. It's from the Mayim HaTachtonim, but it's still connected to the Mizbeach. And our table, our shulchan, is also Dome L'Mizbeach. And therefore, even though we eat and we're gashmi, we still have connection to Ruchnius. This is the last week of the Zman. It's not the last week of the year. The tears come later. It's the last week of this month. And the week from tonight, week from today already, we're Bein Bein Hazmanim. It's already going to be Beis Nisan. So what goes on Bein Hazmanim? On the one hand, the intensity of the world of Ruchnius that we're involved in, somewhat weakened. Some of us are going to be going to Chutz Laretz. We'll be leaving Eretz Yisrael. We'll be leaving Yerushalayim. We're going to be in Chutz Laretz. And even those who are going to be here in Eretz Yisrael won't be spending all those hours a day that we spend in the Beis Medrash, in classes, in learning. And if the Satan was hanging around, he could come along and he can try to be mekatreg, to incite against us. Look at them. They nazmanim, and all they care about is they drop the ruchnius, they leave it behind, and off to the gashmius of Chutz Laretz, or the gashmius outside the Beis Medrash, as if we have no more connection to ruchnius. But the Bris Melach is there to remind us and to remind the Satan that the Satan's wrong, because it doesn't have to be that way. We can be in a world of Gashmius and still be connected to Ruchnius. It's not that if we're in the Beis Medrash, we have a connection to spirituality, and if we leave the Beis Medrash, we leave it behind. The Mayim HaTachtonim still have a connection to the Mizbeach. And our Bein Hazmanim still has to have a connection to the Beis Medrash. I don't mean it necessarily in the literal sense, but in a sense of Machshavah. When you, wherever you are in Bein Hazmanim, it doesn't mean that all that you've achieved in these last 6 months or so, or longer, I didn't make the count, it all goes by the wayside. All that you achieve, you take with you. And you continue. It means that Bein Hazmanim, you still daven. You still set aside time for davening. In Bein Hazmanim, you still set aside time for learning. So it won't be 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day. But a little bit of time. A little bit maybe in the morning or a little bit in the evening. It means that all the midos that you've worked on, you now have a certain challenge of putting them into effect. It's much easier to be mekayim kibud av va'em when you're 6,000 miles away, or 1,000 miles away, or how far away is Australia? Very far away. It's easier. And it's a little bit more challenging when you're spending time with your parents and spending time back at home. But that doesn't mean that your ruchnius is going to go down. On the contrary, it's a chance for your ruchnius to grow even further. And the ideals and the values that you've worked on and inculcated in yourselves, you take with you. They may be challenged. It is possible. And the challenge is all through life. And we don't necessarily look for challenges. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us those challenges, then we have to learn to rise to the occasion. And we become better because of those challenges. We have another week here. Another week to fortify ourselves with more ruchnius, more learning, more things that are involved in preparation as we get closer to Pesach. But whatever we have with us, we have to remember to take with us. The Mayim Tachtonim were assured by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though you're in a world of Gashmius, you still have a connection to the Mizbeach.
The Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us the same assurance if we look for it. Even though we will enter a little bit more into the world of Gashmius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us that wherever we are always connected to the Beis Medrash.